Hour, the live international talk radio ministry of Greater Grace Church in Baltimore, Maryland. You can join us on the air today by calling 1-800-338-7060 or 410-483-3700 from outside of the United States. Now, here is our host.
And welcome to the Grace Hour. It's a Friday, and we're concluding a week here of talking about the things of God. And we are really, this first week, of the new year, we've been talking about the newness of life, walking in the newness of life, and how God quickens us and makes us a new creation. So we'd like you to sit back and relax and enjoy the thoughts that will be shared in just a few moments from Pastor Love. We'd love for you to be a part of our broadcast today, 1-800-338-7060. Those are the toll-free number. That's the toll-free number to use here in North America. Also, locally here, if you're listening on WRBS, Positive Talk 1230, you could call 410-483-3700. That would be our local number, and also an international number if you're outside of the United States of America and you'd like to share your thoughts today. You could do that by calling 410-483-3700. But we're just, when we're thinking about approaching a new year, we're just talking about how God really has a constant way of making us fresh and new by His Holy Spirit. That's really the truth of the Word of God, is that it is always giving us and bringing us into a new and living way. I love the book of Hebrews and how we are led into the understanding of who Jesus is, and then also led into an understanding of how to live by the Word of God in the new covenant. So that's what we've been talking about, trying to get you set up for the rest of the year, just to talk about the newness of life and how God makes things new. And so we'd love for you to share your thoughts and your comments about that. Maybe you have something that could edify our worldwide audience. We're sending out prayers to people throughout the world because, there's challenges going on, different things. People are being affected by the virus and other things, and we lift you up in prayer. We'd love for you to share your prayer request with us. We'd lift those up with the radio audience, and that would be a great thing that we could do as a people, as the Church of God. And this is the Friday broadcast, Pastor Love, and we're ending the first week of 2022 with another little round of snow here in Baltimore. Maybe in the north you have a little bit more snow, and you're, forced to stay in for some reason or other. But we'd love to be a part of your day today and hear what you have to say. Pastor Love, you have a message for us today?
I hope so. Yeah, just to, again, stay with this great theme of all things being new. Maybe just a few thoughts today on the subject of a new identity.
That's a good one.
A new identity. One of the best working definitions that I can recall for that word identity, and it's something more, friends, obviously, than, pulling out your driver's license or having a passport and showing it to someone who asks for your identification. It's something that's deeply embedded in a person's soul. And again, the best working definition I've ever heard is this: an identity is a conscious sense of individual uniqueness. Think about that. A conscious sense of individual uniqueness. Now, how do we arrive at it? And what does the scripture teach regarding our identity? Now, we know in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. Old things have all passed away. All things have become new. And that includes our identity. Now, think about it. Most often, people, when it comes to an identity, we may even know people. We might not even know their name, but we know their trouble. And when someone either describes them to us or we try to describe them to others, we might say things like, well, you know, the one that's got problems, the one that's an alcoholic, you know, that divorced woman. In other words, we may know their problem, but we don't even know their name. And we identify them based upon what they've experienced, what they've gone through, what their trouble is, what their heartache is like. But when it comes to becoming a new creature in Christ Jesus, you can be sure of this one truth. All of those labels disappear. They all fall off of us. And we receive this new identity and new understanding of who we are in Christ. And remember, the great thing about God giving you and I a conscious sense of individual uniqueness, the great thing about receiving our identity from God, well, remember this, it's accurate. It's based upon all the facts. And think about it. Some of those facts are good, but some of them are bad. But yet, God is the only one who has all of the facts about who we are. And think about it. With everything that he knows about us, he's given us a new identity in Christ. With all that God knows about us, our failures, our shortcomings, our struggles, our weaknesses, our sinful habits, with all of that and more that God knows about us, he calls us the righteousness of Christ. He's given us a brand new identity. And no one can say, well, God, you must not know that person in an exhaustive way, because if you did, you would never see them that way. But thank God, man looks on the outward appearance, but God sees the heart. And the great news of the gospel message is that God has given us a new heart. Ezekiel 36:26, a new mind. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And he's renewed us in the spirit of our minds. What a blessing. This is how God sees us. Yes, it's accurate. And the second thing about God's giving us an identity is that it's authoritative. The scripture says, where the word of the king is, there is power. Make no mistake about it. When God gives you an identity, it's powerful. It comes with the authority of the word of the king himself. And not only is it accurate and authoritative, but friends, it's unchanging. It's not subject to the highs and lows and the ups and the downs and the bends in the road that we experience in life. God calls us his children. And friends, that's never going to change. Because what God does in Ecclesiastes 3:14, he does forever. No one can add to it. No one can take away from it. God does not see us the way people see us. And of course, if we find ourselves surrounded by spiritually minded people, people that are thinking with God, friends, they're going to see you the same way God sees you. They're going to see you after that new creation in Christ Jesus. And again, nothing has the power to change that identity that has been given to us by God. And that identity, by the way, has been given to us by God's grace. Grace alone gives us this new identity. Never forget that. You say, I don't deserve to have a new beginning. I don't deserve to get a fresh start. I don't deserve to get another chance. Well, friends, the great news about the grace of God is that he's not going to give us what we deserve. We're going to get exactly what we don't deserve. And mercy is going to see to it that we do not get the things that we deserve. This is the nature and the character of God. And this is the nature of the new identity that he's imparted to each one of us by faith. We are the righteousness of God. That's what the scripture teaches in 1 Corinthians, and I'll turn over there just so that we can refresh our minds about it. In 1 Corinthians, I believe it's the first chapter, the Apostle Paul, as he opens this chapter, he says that of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. That according as it is written, let him that glories, glories in the Lord. Yes, we can glory in God because of this new identity. And we can recognize and realize that nothing's going to change that. Why? Because grace has granted us this new identity. So in the days that lie ahead, as we move consistently through the year 2022, you let the grace of God create your resume. Don't let failure create it. Don't let other people create it. Don't let those who really think they know you create it. Let God create your resume. Let God be the one who determines who you are. You know, I love the illustration. We shared it some time ago on the Grace Hour. But some people have this idea that their salvation and this new identity that they have is kind of like you take your old clunker that's filthy, it's dirty, and you take it to the car wash and you drive through it. And oh, isn't that amazing? You come out the other end of that car wash and now your old clunker is clean. It's shiny. But that's not how God operates. That's not what salvation is all about. That's not what being a new creation in Christ Jesus is like. It's more like this. You take your old decrepit clunker and you go through a divine car wash, so to speak, and you come out the other end, a Maserati, a Lamborghini, a Porsche, brand new, something altogether different, something that's been created by God. And all that is created by God is without mistakes. It's without a flaw. And that is exactly how God says that someday we will be presented before his Father without spot, without wrinkle, no deficiencies. Oh, I know, as we hear these things, we think, wait a minute, this is not reality. Friends, this is God's reality. Now, as far as the world is concerned, well, will they recognize it? Will they realize it? Will they look at you and I and say, hey, I realize the difference now. You're a new creation. You're not the person you used to be. You've got a new way of thinking, a new way of living your life. Well, they might recognize some element of change in our lives because of being born again. But let's be honest. The world will not recognize who we are. The world will not know us. That's what John wrote in his epistle in 1 John chapter 3. The world simply doesn't know us. But God knows us. And God sees us for who we really are. And that's why we cannot afford to take our cues from this world. We take our cues from God. We discover our identity because God says, listen, when I identify you, when I give you a brand new identity, it's accurate, it's authoritative, and it's unchanging. And it comes from me. And it's all based upon my grace. It has nothing to do with your merit, nothing to do with human effort, nothing to do with your desire to say, I don't like the way I'm living and I want to change things. God knows something that we sometimes forget, and that is we don't have the power to change. But God calls us to change and gives us the power to pull it off through the new birth and through the process of sanctification, which is the work of the Spirit, not our work. Trust him. Believe him. Get that new identity from God. Again, let grace create it. Let God's promises create it. Let's let the body of Christ remind us who we are. People often ask us, you know, why is it that you have to assemble as often as you do with your church? Even this morning, I was speaking to my sister in New England on the phone, and she said, I'm heading out now and I'll call you later. She said, well, where are you going? Because she knew we got some snow, we got some bad weather. I said, I'm going to church. Well, she said, it's Friday. What are you going to church today for? And she said, oh, that's right. That's where you always are. Yeah, they can't understand why we assemble here as often as we do. But we know the reason why, friends. Because every time we're surrounded by spiritually minded people, it has a way of reminding us of our new identity in Christ. Yes. When other people see us the way God sees us, well, that's an opportunity for the glory of God to shine through once again. You've got a new identity. I've got a new identity. God gave it to us, not because we were worthy, not because we deserved it, and not because we could have ever earned it. We got it as a gift of grace. Today, when you woke up and you look in the mirror, that's the righteousness of God. God looks at us as he looks at his son. And what does he say when he looks at his son? This is my son, in whom I am well pleased. And friends, when you're in Christ, he says the same thing about you. Now, you could challenge that and say, recently I did some things I know that aren't pleasing to God. But as God sees it, you're in his son. Yes, when we stumble, we confess it. We allow the blood of Christ to cleanse us from all of our sin. We get back on our feet by the grace of God, and we move on. The failure, that was a moment. Don't make a monument out of it. Leave it where it is. Put it in the rearview mirror of your life and press on to the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And when it's all said and done, and when we reach the end of this temporal existence, we're going to be so surprised, so pleasantly shocked at all that God had done in our lives. Everything that he did on the inside, it might take some time to manifest itself on the outside, but this is the work of God. And God's work is always great. And God's work always prevails. When God gives you a new identity, it's forever. It's accurate. It's authoritative. Father, we ask you to bless these thoughts today and thank you for the opportunity to share them with our audience. And bless the remainder of our program now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Welcome to the Grace Hour. You've been listening to Pastor John Love. I'm Pastor Steve Andrelonis. This is a Friday. You might have been expecting Pastor Schiavelli to be sitting in this seat on this Friday, but he is out of the office today. So we pray for him. And Pastor Love filled in quite ably at the last minute there. And we're just very thankful that we can be with you here on the Grace Hour and share our thoughts about being new in Christ, having a new identity. The numbers to reach us today are, as usual, 1-800-338-7060. That's a toll-free number in North America. Here in Baltimore and worldwide, 410-483-3700 is the number to use here. So we'd love to hear from you today and your thoughts about having an identity in Christ. We want to remind you that you could like us on Facebook and share on Facebook and YouTube, and that would help expand our audience. If you post a like, post a share to your pages in those environments, we could expand the audience. We have people every day. It seems like we're getting new names that we see on the feed here. And if you're on Facebook and YouTube, you know that you can post your comments there, and we read them as they apply to our subject here. For instance, Julie from London is saying, I was treated badly on occasion, which caused me to feel degraded, yet I cried out to God and asked him for a promise to see myself in a new way. And the 2 Corinthians 5:17, God gave me that verse seconds later. I cried in such joy. God does see us in his son, not in our past or even in our present circumstances. I mean, despite, you know, the circumstances that we might be in, it doesn't really affect who we are in Christ. That's an important thing to understand. So talk to us about the identity that God has given you and led you into. We know that the Word of God is very specific on how much we are loved by Him. And also, before we go off the radio waves today, we want to remind everyone that Sunday we'll have church services here at Greater Grace Church, which is the home of the Grace Hour. This is where we come to. This is where we come to broadcast from here on the campus at 6025 Moravia Park Drive. We'd love to see you here. We have church services at 9 and 11 in the morning on Sundays and also at 6:30 in the evening. So you all are invited to be a part of music and message and fellowship here on our campus. So again, we invite you 9, 11, 6:30 this Sunday. We'd love to see you here. And if you have a church, you know, go to church, right, Pastor Love? Go Amen. To church, like more and more as you see the day approaching. Pastor Love was going out today, and who was it that you told it? Your sister.
My sister.
Yeah, you're going to church. Going to church on a Friday. Yeah, we're going to church on a Friday. Yeah, we're here.
And then, you know, I think I caught her by surprise. She goes, well, that's where you work. But I thought to myself, well, even if I didn't work there, I would want to be there. Because that's where the fellowship is happening. That's where God's people come together. That's where we can really begin to understand our true identity in Christ.
Well, that's an interesting.
Surrounded by those kinds of people.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, you know, if you're in the neighborhood here and you have a chance to take a lunch break, you could have come by and Pastor Love would have been in our cafe here. You could have got a coffee. You could have got a sandwich or a salad and listened to Pastor Love. We have devotional messages every noon here at 6025 Moravia Park Drive. We call them lunch wraps, wrap sessions. It's from that hippie era. Like, what does it mean to be rap? It means to talk about something serious. That's what it used to mean. And so you won't be hearing anyone bust a rhyme here. That's probably an ancient term. I know. Please don't. You know, don't. I'm dated. Yes, I understand. But you can come by for our lunch devotional, if that's a better word for you, every day at Greater Grace Church. Just a way that we pass the time. And we do have, you know, some days we have 30, 40 people who show up,
that's right.
just to be in that environment, right?
Yeah, it's a blessing. But we just take, as you said, every opportunity that presents itself to gather and to share God's thoughts and to build each other up in our most holy faith. You know, this whole theme of a new identity, Pastor Steve, is so important because I think the devil, he's been at it for so many centuries, but he's always trying to lead the believer into an identity crisis. And we've all heard these words, you know, when recently our lives have been flushed with failure, we might hear him say, listen, if you were a Christian, would you have done that again?
Mm.
He wants to make what God says is a reality from divine perspective. He wants to make it an iffy thing. Think about it. That's the way the devil operated when the Spirit of God led Jesus into the wilderness. The devil, each time, at least the temptations that we read about in Matthew 4 and Luke chapter 4 is, if you're the Son of God, you know, create some doubt. And by creating doubt, if that's not successful, then prove it.
Really?
But again, we don't even have to prove anything.
No.
We are who God says we are. But that didn't stop in the wilderness for Jesus. When he stood before his enemies, when he stood before Caiaphas or Pilate, it tell us plainly, are you the Christ? Mm. If you're the Christ, you know, always, even on the cross, if he really were the Son of God, he could come down from that cross, always hoping even to try to lead Christ into an identity crisis. It's the same thing he does with us. Someone has said that if you could just take every temptation that we're faced with in life and consolidate all those temptations, you'd have one great temptation. What is it? To get us to doubt who God says we are.
Yeah, it's the world wants a demonstration. It wants a demonstration. It wants its own validation based on its checklist, you know. And that was the thing on the cross. You know, Jesus, come on down and we will believe you. If you come down from that cross, we will believe you. And we know that that's not, that wouldn't have been true. I mean, the amazing miracles that he had already done. I mean, we just can read John chapter 6 and see that he had fed 5,000-6,000 people there, or men only, it's counting there. So dozens more, probably hundreds more, were fed that way. And it says that many followed him no more because they couldn't grasp who he really was. And so for him to have demonstrated himself in that manner, that was, like you said, the trial in the wilderness was Satan trying to get the Son of God to demonstrate himself, to enter into some sort of power play, right?
Yeah.
You know.
Absolutely.
Show me your hand, you know.
Yeah. If you know, prove to us that the voice that you heard, which was at his baptism, mm-hmm. this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. Prove to us that you really are who that voice said you are. So let's go. You have a chance to demonstrate it. And he never bit. He never took the bait.
No.
Didn't have to. There was nothing to prove. It's kind of like the Apostle Paul. On the one hand, we may hear those words whispered to our souls. Well, if you were a Christian. I love Paul's statement. I am what I am by the grace of God in 1 Corinthians 15:10. And that's everything. That's good, bad, and everything in between. I am what I am. By the grace of God.
It's amazing. Amen. Well, friends, we've got a lot more to say about it, but on the radio waves, we'll have to exit here. This is our final minute for this week at WRBS, and we thank you for being with us today. And we ask that you pray for us, continue to support us. Again, we want to remind you, here at Greater Grace Church, we have church services on Sunday, 9, 11, and 6:30. We welcome you to be a part of that. Next week, we'll have a new series of broadcasts to present to you, coming to you 1 p.m. Eastern Time here in the United States of America. So put us in your schedule. We'd love for you to be with us every day. So for those on the radio, we want to say happy Friday. Have a great weekend. For those online, stay right where you are. We'll be right back to talk about our identity and our new creation. Grace Hour coming to you live from Baltimore. We're going to take our first caller of the day. Sandra from Rhode Island called a little bit late in the first half hour. We didn't want to interrupt her conversation. So, Sandra, you are on the air right now.
All righty. Good afternoon, Pastor Love and Pastor Angelonis. You know, when you was talking about a new creature, a new creation, I just wanted to share this myself, and I there's probably a lot of other people listening that might have been going through something like this. I have a couple of adult sons that one was alcoholic, one was a drug addict, and I was a compulsive overeater. And I can tell you, and I was living that way, even as a Christian, for many years. But for the last 13 years, I really got it that I'm brand new. I'm brand new. I'm not the old me anymore. I came out of the car wash as a Maserati, as you said.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, and I don't live that way anymore. I don't eat that way anymore, letting my emotions control me, letting my negative, erroneous thinking control me. And when you said my new identity is forever. It was just beautiful.
That's amazing.
So, it is, and that's it. I am a brand new creation, and I got to tell you, I used to go to, or I do go to what they call 12-step meetings for OA, for Overeaters Anonymous. I do not say, my name is Sandra, and I'm a compulsive overeater. I say, my name is Sandra, and I'm a recovered compulsive eater by the power of the living God.
That is great. What a great testimony, Sandra. That is beautiful. Because it's the truth, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And I enjoy this show so very much. I come on almost every day if I can, and I just shared it with someone today who also has a eating issue, and I said go on to this Christian talk show that comes on every Monday through Friday. So anyway, I'm going to get off and listen, and just thank you so much for letting me be able to share being a brand new creation through Christ.
Amen. That's a great testimony. Thanks so much for calling and sharing it.
Yes. Bye-bye, you all.
1-800-338-7060. You can use the number right there, toll-free number, just like Sandra did from Rhode Island. Wherever you are in North America, that 1-800 number works toll-free. Locally here in Baltimore, if you're listening online, and apparently you are, if you're hearing my voice, 410-483-3700 is the number to use. Facebook Live watchers, YouTube Live watchers, you can post your comment. Thea says, recently I was thinking about my own perception of someone who'd had a difficult life for 2 decades. Then God lovingly helped me to see the Christ in them and how they've grown in him. So seeing others in Christ, that maybe is more difficult for us. And maybe the root of that is because we have trouble seeing ourselves in Christ, because we are supposed to love our neighbor as we love our truck. No. As we love our dog. No. We're supposed to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. So it seems like the secret to kindness and the secret to love for others is understanding our identity as beloved people. Yeah. God loves us.
Yeah. It's like the little poem goes, you know, oh, to dwell with the saints above, that will be grace and glory. But to dwell here below with the saints we know, that's another story. Right? I mean, it's true. In fact, the ones that we have the most challenging time to recognize and to see them in Christ are the ones that are closest to us. Why? Because we have a more thorough understanding of all that they are. And we feel as though we're even justified in our accurate assessment of who they are. But God steps in and says, listen, no one has a more accurate understanding of who you are than I do. And with all that I know about you, here's my declaration. Mm-hmm. Cleansed, forgiven, accepted, Hebrews 10:14, perfect in my sight. It's incredible.
Paul wrote that he saw himself as the chief of sinners. So that was a big declaration of his, you know, especially to the people he was writing to, who most of them probably knew very little about who God was or anything about him without his letters and his ministry. But Paul said, you know, at the base element of all of our existence is the fact that we are sinners saved by grace. And, you know, that's, you know, the just shall live by faith. And what do we put our faith in? It's our faith in what was done at the cross. And the cross made us what we are, made it possible for us to have a new identity, detached from all that we have done that is out of order. Dominique DiPiazza writes, thanks, Pastor Love, for this message. This identity matter has been one of most importance in my spiritual journey. So many people know me as a musician. That's the reason I had to put my bass down for more than 7 years and dig deep and understand what was my new identity in Christ. After having received the Word of God daily and through the assembling of the body of Christ, my new identity was so much residing in me that I forgot totally that I had been a famous musician. And I couldn't until now delight in this. I praise God for the Greater Grace Ministry. If I had been in any other ministry, I am sure that the musical thing would have been the first thing that people would have recognized, and I probably would not have become a preacher. Praise God for our new identity. Pastor Dominique had a great career. I think he had a drummer from Baltimore named Dennis Chambers made a couple of albums with. I think I have that right, don't I, Pastor Dominique? I think I have that right. But
amazing.
That's amazing. But it is true. Like we tend to do that. You we do exalt people who bring to the table something that is sort of enticing and exciting, you know. I was reading this morning in Psalm, I think it's Psalm 145, you know, that David's talking about God teaching his fingers to war, and then he talks about playing the instrument and the songs, and I'm thinking, well, David took a lion by the beard. He also slung a stone at a giant's head, won that battle in the name of the Lord. But really, how did he learn how to play the instrument before God? That was the real warfare, and you know, that's kind of an interesting thing. Hey, we have a call coming from Richmond, Virginia. We have a group of Bible college students that left for that area. And Dave, you are on the air. You have a report.
Hey, Pastor Steve and Pastor Love. Yeah. So we're here in Richmond, Virginia from the Bible College, being led by Pastor Rinaldo and Jesse Fires. We got to meet up with Ted and Pastor Tom from Culpeper, Virginia. And we just hit the ground and we started evangelizing. And yeah, it's been awesome. It's been awesome. We have a vision here to plant a church here. We would love to do that. Start with a Bible study and we'll see. But yeah, so I just wanted to call in and just let you guys know that we're on the move, that our church is on the move. And people, it's been amazing here. People have gotten saved. Two people have gotten saved. And I just wanted to actually give this list of names. People that we have had conversations with and been able to just speak to about God and encourage them. This list is Lon, Tay, E, Zach, Mickey, and David. These are people that we ran into and that God is like touching their lives with the word and with fellowship. And yeah, we're just having an awesome time. We're having a lot of fun here and just wanted to call in and let you guys know what's going on.
That is exciting. And how long will you be there in the Richmond, Virginia area?
So we got here this morning, and we're going to be here till Sunday. We'll be here for 3 days.
That's amazing. And
yeah, we're going to have a get together on Saturday and on Sunday, and we're inviting people out to that. We have people that are saying that they want to join us and have fellowship with us. So we're super excited about that. Yeah.
Praise God. What a great report.
So where will you have that? Do you have a place?
Do we have a place?
We do.
We go. Yeah. Jesse Fires. He's been organizing this trip for a while, and he scouted out a spot for us. Yeah.
Okay.
So we were able to get tracks and put the name of the place where we're meeting at and the times on there for people.
Okay. Do you can you tell people where you'll be tomorrow and Sunday, if that's possible? Then maybe someone's logged in today from Richmond.
You know what? I absolutely can do that, and I'm running to go meet back with
this is live radio, ladies
really
and gentlemen, live radio. We just we're getting information as it comes in from the field.
I love that.
The place. Here you go. Can I get a track? Thanks. The place that we're meeting is Linden Row Inn. That's the name of it.
Okay.
And, 100 East Franklin Street,
okay.
Richmond, Virginia, 23219.
All right. There you have it, friends. If you're in Richmond, you can meet up with a great group of guys, Bible college students, Pastor Rinaldo, a fiery preacher. He'll have a message for you. So that's Saturday and Sunday. What times are those meetings?
Yeah. Saturday at 6:30 p.m. and Sunday at 10:30 a.m.
All right. There you go. All right. We're praying for Richmond, Greater Grace Church in Richmond. It'd be awesome. Many of the churches in this church here in Baltimore, the original church in Baltimore, was founded by a Grace Hour fellowship here. Pastor Stevens himself would fly down on Sunday nights to what was then called Friendship Airport. Now it's known as Thurgood Marshall BWI Airport. But Pastor Stevens would fly down and meet a group of people at a Howard Johnson's on the west side of Baltimore.
Amazing.
And in our congregation, I still think there's three or four people that attended some of those early dinners kind of Grace Hour, what are mini rallies? What do we call them? They were called Telephone Time. That's the name of the program. And Pastor was broadcasting from New England at that time. But he would be in Massachusetts and Maryland and Maine, I think, all on the same day. That was like, and he had a pilot. It was kind of interesting. Could you imagine that? Like, you're getting into like a little plane and you're going to fly down to Baltimore. It's like you fly over, you know, you're flying from, you know, the Boston area. I'm sure that's probably where he took off.
Well,
right?
Actually, he often flew out of the Berkshires.
Oh, okay.
Dick Andrews was the pilot.
That's right.
And
all
he
right.
would take that I don't know, 5 or 6 seat
Pittsfield airstrip or something like that, a little Cessna.
Right in the Berkshires. And I remember, you know, from time to time we would see Pastor Stevens heading out and we would inquire as to where he was heading, and they would say, well, he's going to Baltimore or he's going to Pittsburgh or he's going to go to another part of the country and have one of those Grace Hour rallies. And that's amazing. And here we are. Still doing it today, people like David and Pastor Ronaldo and the team, Jesse Fires and others from our Bible college out there, basically doing the same thing that Pastor Stevens did decades ago.
All right, we'll be praying for you guys, and the Grace Hour audience will be too. Pray for this Blitz in Richmond today, tomorrow, Sunday. Maryland Bible College and Seminary students taking advantage of their winter break to get out of town and do something for the Lord. All right, thanks, Dave. Have a great time.
Awesome. Love you guys. Thank you guys. Thanks. Have a good one.
God bless you. I love Laird Bean. He wrote to us on YouTube Live. He says, so good. We are not what we think we are, but we are who and what God says we are. Everything else needs to be cast down. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Because, again, someone could say, well, what about Proverbs 23:7? As a man thinks in his heart, so he is. Well, again, as he stated so very well, that's true. That principle is true. We are what we think, but we are not who we think we are.
Well, let's look at the book. Let's look at the book of Job, for example. Here you got three friends, supposedly, coming to a guy who's lost everything but his wife. You know, his children are gone. His possessions are gone. His health is problematic at that point. And, you know, here's three friends who give him the quiet treatment. For whatever reason, we'll just think maybe they just didn't know what to say, because when they started talking, maybe they shouldn't have said what they said, some of these guys. And it's like kind of interesting. They kept like telling Job that you have got to expose your sin. You know, you got to really get in touch with the thing that's wrong with you. And it says Job maintained his integrity. And my point, Pastor Love, maybe you agree with me, is that what was his integrity? I think it's those verses that says, you know what? I am who I am by my Redeemer. My Redeemer lives, and I believe I shall see him in the last day. So I'm not going to talk about what I might have done. Yes, you know, at a couple points, I think he does say that he is a sinner, but he doesn't say it's not because of sin that all this crushing stuff has fallen upon me. That's the refusal. He refused to forsake his integrity, and I think the integrity is that he had that identity that he had a living Redeemer, and that's the identity you got to hold on to.
Amen. A quick prayer request sent to us here at the Grace Hour. Mary LaFlame, recovering at Johns Hopkins Hospital right now. Again, I think the surgery was yesterday, so please keep her in your prayers. We pray that she would just heal up beautifully without any complications and sense the love and the prayers from the body of Christ on her behalf today. We're so grateful for her life of faith and her wonderful portion and all the gifts that she brings to the body of Christ. So we ask these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. And also, Pastor Steve, just want to point out that Pastor Dan Leitze, will remember him Sunday afternoon.
That's right.
Right after our service.
1 o'clock.
Correct? 1 o'clock.
Yeah. 1 o'clock
right here in our
afternoon.
Chapel. Praise God.
Pastor Dan, you know, he was on the air many times talking about recovery, and he wrote a great book called Grace Overcomers. And he had been like, he was, you know, speaking, we talked about Pastor Dominique and jazz musician, and Pastor Dan was a real jazz aficionado and followed around some of these guys and got, you know, into the drug culture that often follows musicians around. You know, you could look at all the, go through the record of rock and roll musicians and country musicians and all these musicians that they can fall into this kind of thing. So It's amazing. You're listening to the Grace Hour today. Nyla said that we have, she called in last week, I think it was, to have a prayer request about this older woman that she was caring for, and she wanted her 97. She witnessed to her, and apparently this woman prayed, Jesus, forgive me. And then the woman fell asleep, and then she died 3 days later. So we're just believing that that woman called upon the name of the Lord, and that's an amazing thing. We're going to go to the phones right now. We have Pastor Bruce Moon on the line. Pastor Moon, welcome to the Grace Hour.
Thank you. Yeah, great day. Great show today about the new identity in Christ. And I just wrote down these thoughts here. We are what we are, not because of what we do, but we do what we do because of who we are.
Mm.
And think of those guys in Richmond, you know, they're doing that not to win salvation or try to become something. They're doing that, and we've all done this all of our lives since we were born again, because of who he made us to be. I mean, it's like a horse. I mean, you can't picture a horse living in a cage his whole life, right? Just staying at home. I mean, a horse was made, I mean, his legs, his entire creation was made to run fast and to carry people. And that's what he was made for. And he's not complete until he does it. And, you know, so we do what we do. We win the lost. We meet together in church. We pray. We just love God, just because that's who we are. We're born that way. And I think that's what also what 2 Corinthians 5 is saying, like it's him and us compelling us to go and reconcile people, as if he's imploring in us. That's part of our new identity. And then that whole part finishes in 2 Corinthians 6:1, which is an unfortunate chapter division, one of those many unfortunate chapter divisions, but it says we are his co-laborers, and because of who we are, that's just our nature. You know, I mean, every animal, every creature has a nature, and it's our nature to go forth and win the lost and do missions and meet together as a church. It's just, it's him compelling, it's the Holy Spirit in us compelling us to do these things, what 2 Corinthians 5 says. And Ephesians 2 says it this way, like, we're not saved by works, but we are born, in Ephesians 2:10, we are born for good works. We are created for good works, prepared for us from before the foundation of the world. And you know, and I was thinking also when you were talking about Jesus being tempted, Adam and Eve were tempted. Mm. And it always goes back to there. You know, and they were tempted in the same way, but they fell. And so they were tempted to think that they lacked something. That's what Satan was telling them. You shall be as God, not realizing they were already created in his image, in his likeness. They were created as sons of God. They lacked nothing at that point, but they began to feel like they lacked something. And that's where they fell.
Hmm.
But, you know, I just remember I came here. I'm in Boston right now, and I came here in 78 as a new believer, 2 months. And nobody had to tell me to go soul winning. I went right to the Boston Commons, and I just started soul winning. And that's where I met this ministry, soul winning on the Boston Commons.
Wow.
In 1978. And, you know, it was something that was in me already. And that's why I did it.
Wow. That's awesome. Yeah, it's a great thought. I mean, I'm just thinking about, you know, what you're saying there. It's like what's, you know, prepared unto good works, you know, from before the foundation of the world. We think we've done something. I mean, really, it's the Holy Spirit that's done it in us and made us what we're supposed to be. And we're only alive by the breath of God. That's amazing. Hey, thanks, Pastor Moon. Will we be seeing you in Baltimore?
I'm trying to get there for the Pastor Dan's face-to-face, but I'm flying on standby, and it looks pretty iffy right now.
Okay, yeah, the weather, the weather and other matters, huh? Okay.
Yeah.
All right, we'll be praying. We got a couple people out of here this past week. You know, Pastor Schaller made it to Finland, and We were talking yesterday, me and Pastor Love on the air, we were talking about Pastor Roger Robbins got to Turkey. So hopefully you can get from Boston to Baltimore and be here, because I know that you'd, you know, Pastor Lightsey, a great friend of yours. And yeah, it's just a great thing. All right. Thanks, Pastor Moon. Have a great weekend here in the States. All right. Generally, Pastor Moon is calling us from Mexico City, where he has been a missionary for about 30 years, I think, right?
Yeah,
it's amazing.
Even more than that. Well, maybe it's not, but he's been here for decades now.
Yeah. This is the Grace Hour. Yesterday, we got a comment from Chris that we didn't get a chance to mention. He was really talking about the message by Pastor Stevens and the anointed segment of preaching. And if you missed that message, you can go to gracehour.org, and there's an archive of our program. And you can hear that message, Divine Coverings, a message for the new year. That was actually a New Year's Eve message from a couple decades ago, but timeless truth. And Pastor Stevens, our Thursday throwback messages really bless people, because Pastor Stevens had a way of, you know, preaching that, you know, it's the reason we're sitting here, right?
That's right. Amen.
It's like, yeah, interesting, just a great person. In terms of the way that he presented truth and also just the way he lived it. Like, he was a soul winner. You know, he was out on the streets of Baltimore, on the streets of Massachusetts, everywhere. He went in the backwoods of Maine, all along those thoroughfares there. Yep. Okay, we're going to go to Pennsylvania, and we're going to talk to Pastor Duke right now. Pastor Duke, you are on the Grace Hour.
Hi, Pastor Steve. Hi, Pastor Love. What a grace distribution of heavenly manna today. Awesome. Hey, just had a quick thought. I know you guys know these verses in Romans 8:29-30. What it says that we, you know, he culminates in our salvation and our sanctification with, we are already glorified, which that is incredible to me to think about. But I was looking up the words, and one Greek dictionary that I found says it has a two-part meaning. One is you receive an impartation of that glory, and the second one is to cause the impartation of glory to be made manifest. And isn't that amazing? Like, in our identity, we've received an impartation of God's glory within, and ultimately, he will make that manifest throughout all eternity when we're in heaven. But we can live in the reality of it right now. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's like when we read about the transfiguration of Christ, Pastor Duke, we know what happened when he took Peter, James, and John up to that mountain and revealed his glory. He just kind of pulled back the veil of his flesh and showed them the inherent glory that he always possessed. And the same thing is going to happen to you and I. We sometimes think of leaving this life and going into heaven. We say, well, I'm going to be in glory. Well, the glory is already present within us.
Amen. That's incredible. And to like believe that just simply by faith and just take God literally at his word and say, wow, I'm already, in his mind, we are already glorified. I mean, we're already, you know, seated with him in heaven. And it's so awesome, Pastor Love. I'm reminded almost daily of a phrase that I heard from you years ago, and I love it, and you've mentioned it over, and I need to hear it all the time, is the work of grace is an inside job. Amen?
Yeah, it is. And that glory, that being glorified that you mentioned in Romans 8:28, or Romans 8:29-30, that's a done deal. That's already accomplished in the mind of God, and that is amazing.
Amen. Amen. It's so incredible. Our salvation is so incredible. What an awesome gift that Christ gave us himself, and now he lives in us by his Spirit, and we get to be with him forever.
Yeah.
And our brothers and sisters, you know, all of our brothers and sisters for eternity. It's going to be amazing.
It does make you ask the question that we read in the book of Hebrews. How could anyone escape if they neglect such a great salvation?
Amen.
It's beyond our ability to even comprehend why anybody would reject our awesome God. And it's a mystery of iniquity, isn't it?
Yeah,
yep,
it's just pure blindness.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Duke. We're going to go to Pastor Steve here in Baltimore. Here, I think he's going to get the last word for this week here on the Grace Hour, since we have a couple of minutes. Pastor Steve, you're on the air.
Hey, what a beautiful show. I mean, just the whole thing, and start to finish the word and everything. But I was thinking, boy, if you're listening to the show and you want to find out who you are in Christ and your identity, like Pastor Love was saying, that the best thing you could do is come out to be a part of the body and listen, and the body kind of reflects to you who you are. You know, it's like your identity is defined in the Word, and then it takes spiritual people to reveal to you also who you are. And it's like, it's an amazing thing. If you're listening and you say, well, I don't know if I should, come on out. It's like you know, when you get there, you'll be like, wow, these people know who I am. And that's amazing. It's just in Christ. And, you know, there's more I could say about it, but, boy, it's like we're called together and then we're sent out, you know, for that reason.
Amen. Well, that's a great piece of practical advice, Pastor Steve, because if you really, if you want to experience everything that we're talking about, yeah, come on out and you will find people here that will see you the same way God sees you.
Right. And then you start to see yourself that way, and then you see them that way, and there's this reciprocal explosion of of life, you know.
Amen. That's awesome.
Beautiful.
Well, we're made for that, right? We're made for community. We're made for communion. We want to be together. It's like, you know, and I think we're seeing it. We're hearing all of these reports about the necessity of being in fellowship. However that happens, people being together, and what better place to fellowship than in the house of the Lord. Let's be glad that we can come into the house of the Lord. And if you need a house of the Lord and you don't have one, you can come to ours, right?
Yeah.
There are many houses of the Lord, but you can come to ours 9 o'clock Sunday, 11 o'clock Sunday, 6:30 Sunday evening, or 7 o'clock Wednesday. And, you know, yeah, we'd love to have you. Well, Pastor Love, we've done it.
Amen.
Another week.
In the books.
Yeah, another week in the books. And Pastor Elshon is saying, you know, I didn't know he was such a basketball fan there.
Yes,
there you go.
He even likes the Knicks. God bless his soul.
Wow, that's amazing. Well, friends, that's our week of broadcast. We'll be back Monday with another new theme to bring to you on the Grace Hour. For Pastor John Love, I'm Pastor Steve Androlonis. Cody Walker's been our engineer today. We want to invite you to have a great weekend in the Lord and to join us, if you can, at Greater Grace Church. Thanks, everyone, for being a part of the Grace Hour on this Friday.
Listening to The Grace Hour. Our live program airs weekdays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Grace Hour is a ministry of the Greater Grace Church. You are invited to visit Greater Grace at 6025 Moravia Park Drive, Baltimore, Maryland, 21206. For more information, go to gracehour.org or call 1-800-338-7060.